And as we bring in Dr. Tyson Bell, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Virginia. Dr. Bell, thanks for hopping on today. You are part of the divisions of infectious disease and pulmonary critical care medicine over there, so you have a pretty good vantage point on this. But as we saw in the data, it seems like hospitalizations maybe are coming down. Again, that's different than when you're detecting the overall cases for people that may have it but don't necessarily have to go to the hospital, which is still going up on a seven-day basis. So I guess the natural question is, are we rounding the corner?
I certainly hope so. You know, we've seen a lot of places, particularly in the Southeast, get really stretched thin with COVID-19 cases and ICU bed availability in particular going down. Now, in addition to the bed crisis, we also have a staffing crisis nationwide with nurses and respiratory therapists. So we're a little bit more strained than even we were last year going into this. So it's very important to see those trends go down. And just like the CDC has announced, we don't want to do anything that particularly move this the wrong direction, because what we've seen from the Delta variant is that it really preys on every opportunity to spread more. And we've seen consistently when there's travel and holidays, our cases go up. And so we definitely don't want to see that. We know how that story plays out. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to read that book again.
Dr. Bell, Anjali here. I want to pivot just really quickly to yesterday's news on the FDA officials announcing their retirement or leaving the department, especially those in the two directors and deputy director of vaccine review. How do you feel about that? And how, give us the context for that, especially as someone who's dealing with it on the ground, with the disease on the ground and looking at what the play out is. Is this a situation where, you know, politics has come ahead of, you know, what is necessary and in that discussion about booster shots?
Well, I think the first thing just to acknowledge is that the FDA is under a lot of scrutiny and stress and strain right now. They've been tasked with a lot of the approval and authorizations for the therapeutics for COVID-19, in addition to emergency use authorization for vaccines. They're in charge of testing devices and approving those as well. Every major decision that's been made by the FDA in the midst of the pandemic comes with a lot of controversy just by nature. So it's already a hard job to begin with. Now, sources say that a lot of the reasoning behind some of these top two key officials leaving did relate to the White House announcement on COVID-19 boosters. And I can only imagine being a senior official at the FDA and hearing the White House announce a plan for boosters ahead of the FDA deliberating this and determining whether this was appropriate or not. And so this was an instance where, you know, I agree with them. It was a little bit awkwardly done in a way, putting the cart before the horse. And if you can imagine being an official and seeing that announcement and then reviewing the data, and if you were to go against that, either outright or to make a major amendment, the sort of anger that would go throughout the country would be quite loud. So I think that, you know, it's a reminder of just how hard managing a pandemic is and being a regulatory agency. I think another thing to note is that the White House has yet to name a nominee to head the FDA. And I think a lot of that reflects some of the frustrations that they felt throughout the pandemic.
Dr. Bell, I guess taking that into consideration, any thought that could potentially, I guess, complicate the U.S.'s ability to get the pandemic under control just at a time when it's so critical, at a time when we see the Delta variant, which is highly transmissible, running rampant throughout the country? I mean, is that something else that we should then be a little bit more concerned about at this point?
Well, you certainly want the leaders of your team there, and you don't want people that are in high senior level positions leaving at a time like this. But I will say that there are a lot of career professionals at the FDA who know what they're doing, have been doing it for a long time, and are really pulling out all the stops when it comes to reviewing it. So I have full confidence that despite the difficulties that they've had, that they'll review the evidence and make a good decision when it comes to boosters and all other decisions related to COVID-19 therapeutics, vaccines, and testing.
Dr. Bell, I wanted to pick up on something you had said earlier, you know, talking about the shortages that we've been seeing. And I know it's a compounding sort of issue from last year, the burnout, as well as just, you know, generally what hospitals had to do in terms of layoffs. Have you seen any pickup at all in terms of being able to help that out? Have there been any places where they understand and are able to hire, or is there just a shortage of even interest at this point?
Well, I would say it's a combination of many different things. So, healthcare workers began the COVID-19 race thinking that it was a sprint, but it's turned into a marathon. We felt that with vaccinations rolling out that we would really turn a tide on the pandemic. But of course, as you all have pointed out, there have been lots of difficulty getting in into underserved communities, getting in into vaccine hesitant communities, and that's led to another wave of COVID-19 surges. And in some areas, even worse than it's ever been at any point before. You also pointed out that we're seeing more hospitalizations among children now, and this is all putting a strain on healthcare resources. So a lot of friends and colleagues that I know have either decided to leave altogether or downsize and do other things. And that all puts a strain on all of our resources. And so we can't just assume that a bed that's available is a bed that can actually take care of a patient, because we have to make sure that our staffing is available. There's a nationwide nursing shortage, and our hospital, like many others, are trying to incentivize nurses to come. But it's not just about incentives. It's really the fact that a lot of healthcare workers are just tapped out at this point.
Dr. Bell, I wanted to ask lastly about some of the chatter around a booster vaccine. There have been some people that, even though they're not necessarily immunocompromised, wanting to get a third vaccination, even if they haven't been cleared by their doctor to do so. Are you seeing that as a real prevalent story, or do you think that's a pretty small minority of people that are trying to do that right now?
I've certainly heard of people who are wanting to get a booster shot. You know, we've been following the data closely, and it's pretty clear that vaccine effectiveness does go down over time, and it correlates with antibody levels. Now, I should say that vaccine level or vaccine effectiveness really means symptomatic disease. When we look at hospitalization and death from COVID-19, the vaccines are still very, very solid when it comes to protecting you from that. So we're talking about symptomatic disease, at least when it comes to younger and healthier people. I think it's important to just let the agencies like the FDA and the CDC review the data. Let's get the full picture of what's happening. There's a lot of data coming out of Israel that's kind of been ahead of us when it comes to vaccination. So I'm interested in seeing what their data shows in regard to younger people and the protection that the vaccines have over time. We have very good data showing that at least for the immunocompromised and folks that are older in age, that giving a third dose of mRNA vaccines does offer a very good protection, sometimes 5 to 6 times more from hospitalization and severe COVID-19.
Doctor, going back to the travel discussion that we were having earlier, I want to bring up the fact that the CDC put out an updated list just in terms of a travel advisory, travel warning here of a couple of different countries. One of the destinations that was on that list was Puerto Rico. And I bring up Puerto Rico because when you're comparing some of the rates and the infection numbers in Puerto Rico to that of U.S. states, it's actually in a much better position. The infection rates in Puerto Rico are lower there than in 41 states. Vaccination rates in Puerto Rico are higher than they are in 47 states. So if we're advising people not to travel to Puerto Rico, should we also be advising certain residents of specific states not to travel outside of state lines?
Yeah, I was not quite clear on why Puerto Rico made it on that list, but I think the larger point is that all non-essential travel, I would hold on that for now, just because we know the pattern of COVID-19 cases when people travel and get together. So it doesn't take, really a state or a county. It takes one gathering and one person who's infected to really cause a cluster of outbreaks. And that was the case before, but even with the Delta variant, it's even that much more likely that getting together with someone, particularly if they're unvaccinated, especially if they're not wearing a mask or other mitigation measures, that's going to lead to more outbreaks. And that's not what we need at a time like this.
All right. Well, that was Dr. Tyson Bell, assistant professor of medicine at the University of Virginia. And we also want to thank Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamlani for joining for that conversation as well.